So I couldn't help when I was reading these readings, especially the Gospels. Do you remember that comedian in the Gospel that always said that only he could do it? Right? I think that maybe that's what I kind of was thinking a little bit here. We don't talk much about the devil, right? Most of us, in terms of contemporary Christianity, we tend to downplay that quite a bit, right? And so there's a recent movie with what's called The Right. Hannibal, the actor. Anthony Hopkins. And he played a priest who was battling Satan in the ancient rites of the church, which are exorcism. And so I know we don't talk much about that, but in the readings that we have today from Genesis, there's two accounts of our creation in Genesis, the Elohist and the Yahwist account. And so each of them have different theological emphasis, but it really is the beginning for us of our salvation history. It is a way that we begin to understand how, at a moment in our existence as human beings, we enjoy what we will enjoy when we're called home, which is the beatific vision, which is the hypostatic union of God's love made manifest in the Trinity. We sang on the way in this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a pretty simple hymn that reflects the Nicene Creed in many ways. And so when we profess that, we profess this faith that for you and I began with our creation. It began in this deep desire on the part of God, who loves us, to create us. And so I always think then that if God created us in love, and we hold that God is all powerful and all knowing, then God doesn't make mistakes, and so that there is some real important reason for our existence in this world in the mind of God, right? And so. And we're taught then that we are created in the image of God. In the image of God, He created us. And so that each and every one of us, there is an image of God which reflects us. Isn't that a beautiful thought, right? Isn't that an amazing thought? But in this wisdom of the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis is drawn from a Mesopotamian creation myth called the Elumah Elish, in which all of the creation stories have to do with this conflict between good and evil, and generally good winning out because life wins out, and so we have this beginning of the story in which the antagonist is Satan, right? And we know that Satan is Lucifer, who was one of the archangels, and he committed the same sin that we did in the Garden of Eden. God created us to be who we are, each and every one of us. But in the Garden of Eden, we were so tempted by Satan. We were so tempted to be something different than what God created us to be. God, in the sense that God created us perfect, just the way we are. But we wanted more than that. We wanted to be somehow more than that. And so as did Satan, right? He wanted to be Lucifer means light. He wanted to be right like God. And so no wonder we were tempted by the thing that called Lucifer as well, right? And so we have this sense that maybe during this Lent, what we can raise up for ourselves is that we should pay attention to those things that call us away from ourselves, those things that call us away from what we are really truly called to be in our lives, and that we can move closer to the persons that God has truly called us to be, closer to the life that God wants for us. And in many ways, what that is following what is God's will for us. And so this idea that we were able to eat from the garden of the tree of good and evil in the garden suggests to us that God created us with free will. And so that we have the opportunity to align our wills with God as well, right? And so most of the time when we don't, we usually pay for that in different ways, right? And so it's not usually the most pleasant experiences for us, and we learn. Thank God, as human beings, we don't have a memory for pain, right? So otherwise, right? So anyways, and then Paul gives us what I think is sometimes a very complicated kind of theology here. But what I like to think about is this: is that he's trying to say that because of our first parents, sin came into the world. Sin meaning we made a mistake, we missed the mark. Not that we're going to hell, right? And that we were tempted away from our true selves. And so Satan, which his name means father of lies, somehow we bought into the lie. And so in the Old Testament, a little later on, we always hear that God's mercies are brand new as well, right? But Paul is trying to say,
because God created us in love, and because we fell short of that, that there was a moment in our history when his love became so great for us again that he sent his son to be one of us, to redeem us. And so on the hill of Golgotha, where Christ is crucified, that is also the place where the Hebrew peoples believe that Adam was buried. And so on Golgotha, where Adam is buried, the person who led us into sin, there too Christ cross rises to raise us from sin as well. And I think that's what Paul is trying to say to us. He gets a little complicated in terms of expressing that in terms of sin and transgression. Thank you for reading that, Stacey. It was a little bit of a tongue twister there, a little bit. But Paul is writing to the church at Rome and saying, listen, I just want to tell you that this is how we understand how sin came into the world, and this is how we understand how we're redeemed from that sin, and that we no longer have to live in that sin. So if death is the result of sin, then life is the result of this experience of God's love for us. And so we have the whole message of Lent, right? We have the whole message of Lent, which concludes for us with the resurrection. It's right there. And so that's where our 40 days are leading us to. Not to dwell in our sin and in our failings, but to look towards the resurrection in which we are all death is conquered once and for all. In this Gospel of Matthew, many of the mystics, many of the church mothers and fathers who we hold up as mystics, especially St. Anthony of the Desert and St. Mary of Egypt, really demonstrated in their own life how each and every one of us are tempted by the same three things that Christ is tempted by, and that his reliance on prayer and scripture is what helped him overcome that. St. Anthony of the Desert struggled for 40 years in a cave with his demons, we're told. And those demons were the ones that Christ dealt with, right? Fame and power and security. We want to know, right? And so we deal with those in many different ways in our life. And Christ always responds to Satan, right? The scripture says that we don't live on bread alone. The scripture says. And so in many ways, I think Jesus is saying to us, maybe what we hear in the first reading is, don't make the same mistake again. In prayer, come to some understanding of what God is calling you to be yourself, to who God has called us to be, and then we won't be tempted by these things for power and fame and security and wealth. All of those things somehow will move in them in a much more comfortable and less attached way. They will not bind us down in many, many ways. And so what we hear at the end of this particular reading is that the angels came to minister to Jesus and that he was hungry. And so 40 days of fasting in the desert, I think, probably left him fairly hungry. And so as we enter into these 40 days, maybe it's for us to raise up what are those dimensions that tempt us beyond sometimes our own measure and our own grace. What are those things that this Lent, that like Christ, we have to shore ourselves up with prayer, shore ourselves up again with the words of God in the scriptures, the living word of God. What are those things in our life that maybe we have to ask for help with, that we have to ask for more assistance, and not let our pride, like our first parents, lead us away from God even further, but maybe draw us closer to the persons that God wants us to be. So I think about that in many, many ways. What are those things? And it's not always the big things, right? It's not always a kind of a naked attempt for power or gluttony or lust, right? Maybe it's the smaller ways, right? Maybe it's our temper, maybe it's our impatience, maybe it's our inability to tolerate something in our lives that we really don't deal with very well, that we maybe have an exaggerated sense of who we are in that particular moment, and that this Lent can come to us in graceful ways and lead us in different ways to respond to that, lead us towards a truer restoration of ourselves to ourselves and to our community and to God. The opening prayer of Ash Wednesday is, oh, we give thanks to God for giving us this joyful season of Lent. Most of us don't think of this as a joyful season. We wear purple, right? We pray, we fast, we give alms. But in many ways, the joy of this, even when Father Seamus will sing the Exultet for us on the Easter Vigil in Latin, we say, O felix culpa, O happy fault of Adam that caused the Savior's birth. And so that the season of Lent is for us to journey with each other, to journey as a community with each other, to find our way again towards what that which God has always called us to, which is his love, which is always at the center of the church, always at the center of our lives, and always calls forth from us life, right? Always calls forth from us from life. I think sometimes we can't help about the influence of evil in our life, and we tend to locate that in the person of the devil or Satan. And St. Augustine said that evil was the absence of good. And I think that it's really hard for me to find the absence of good in mostly anything. I think it exists, but sometimes it's so far removed from me that it's not always in my presence and in my awareness. But I think that you and I come close to a dimension of that when we really do deny what God is calling us to. What we really do is we so then maybe behave in ways that become so self-destructive to us that it might move us towards the absence of life, right? And then, and life being the greatest good, then in the absence of that is the greatest evil. And so what we need to do this Lent really in this time together as we join together is prayerfully move with each other in these 40 days towards God's call to loving call to life with us. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.